There's a better place to get your podcast. GCNlive.com. Hundreds of thousands of hours. Archived for your listening pleasure. All free at GCNlive.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So if we can't get Scotty to do our stinger, we'll get Gogs MacKay. Joining us with Kurt Collins, Don Ecker, Gene and Chris. And by the way, we're still thinking of working out a way here where we'll have our listeners submit their own Paracast stingers, and then we'll pick the best ones and figure some kind of prize, along with making them famous. When I talk about the gradual disclosure, I don't think we're ever going to have the press conference revealing that E.T. is here. If they have guilty knowledge, it would be a gradual acceptance of the situation rather than the sudden disclosure. And we can talk about that here with all sorts of conditions, yes?
Yeah, I've said this a number of times on the show, but you think about it. I mean, if Barack Obama announced a special press conference and walked up to the podium hand in hand with a little alien gray, a sizable percentage of the world would not believe it. They would think that it's some publicity stunt, no matter how well-meaning, well-intentioned, and serious the press conference was. There are people that would completely close down to what would appear to be the obvious fact. Obviously, that's never going to happen. But, I think people don't like to be shaken out of their comfort zone. And I think disclosure, one of the reasons why we don't have any possibility, you know, kind of piling on to Don's comments here, but one of the reasons is that there's just too strong of a fundamentalist religious kind of leaning right now in the country. And I think that this is really a real impediment for any sort of disclosure, official disclosure. And I think, this whole idea of gradual disclosure is almost an organic process that's sort of unfolding on its own. I don't really think it's directed. What do you guys think?
Well, let me pop in here real quick with just a real quick observation. If we discovered an extraterrestrial signal that perhaps came from an area in the sky that was determined to be 25 or 50,000 light years away, that would be one thing, because we would have the safety of distance. They could announce something like that. And of course, you got to look at all the criteria of what the SETI protocols are. For example, in order to announce the discovery of a signal, it has to have been repeated. Now, the fact of the matter is SETI has discovered anomalous signals, but they've never been repeated. So the announcement has never been made. But if that were to happen, that would be one thing. But if a ship showed up between Earth and Jupiter and they discovered an anomalous alien signal from the ship, that would be something entirely different, almost like the film Independence Day. Okay, that would create chaos probably on a worldwide level. So it all would depend upon, you know, the circumstances of discovering ET life. Now, not long ago, a NASA spokeswoman said, well, I believe in the next decade or so, we're going to discover extraterrestrial life. But she wasn't talking about sentient life. In other words, intelligent life. She was talking about alien microbes. And the dirty little secret is, microbes have been discovered on things like meteorites. So, you know, it's a shell game that they play.
There seems to be a widespread, well, I don't know if I want to call it belief, but, you know, assertion from scientists all over in different disciplines that there's life out there in the universe and these exoplanets that are being discovered. But these same people don't want to admit any possibility that any of them are traveling here and that there's no connection with the UFO phenomenon. And I'm wondering if anybody is really interested in both things, because some of the UFO mavens are just really don't have much. It seems a lot of them don't have any interest in the developments in space. I wonder if there's anybody that's kind of bridging that, the two schools of thought on that.
Well, let me just say this before we go on. My feeling is here is they live in separate universes. So they'll look at the people interested in UFOs and say they're just ET believers. And, you know, they're having fun or they have fantasies or maybe they had abductions and are looking for some kind of way to deal with a psychological problem. But in the case of any revelation about Earth-like planets elsewhere, that's science. It's not the crazy people chasing UFOs. This is the real thing. So even if that brings about eventually a realization that we're being visited or have been visited, it will never connect to the so-called UFO believer. It's a separate class, I guess.
How about this? Only two things need to happen before academia will readily accept that maybe even aliens could be here. And that would be discovery of a habitable planet, and then the discovery and proof of faster-than-light travel, if it's possible, like a warp or something. If those things become commonly accepted, then it's a done deal. Now, then you can retroactively sort of say, well, if we can discover faster-than-light travel, then the distance problem doesn't exist in the same way. So now we have no philosophical barrier to ET being here now or in the past.
Let me throw you guys a curveball, okay? I, as you all are aware, I've been studying this question of lunar phenomena for a very long time. And I don't know if I've ever come out on the Paracast and specifically said this. But, you know, going back to the Apollo program, and for all you guys that were aware and alive then, and you watched what was happening, it was one of the most amazing times in my life that I ever witnessed. The fact that we were, honest to God, attempting to step mankind upon another world. And it was exciting to the extreme. And all the propaganda about the Apollo project, and not only us, but also the Soviet Union at the time, were all racing to land human beings on the moon. And we had a lot of plans. There were plans to set up lunar bases. There were plans to set up manufacturing processes. And we spent an inordinate amount of money to get there. And not only national treasure, but human lives. We lost people. The Russians lost people. And the bottom line was we went there on just six missions that were successful, and we just arbitrarily stopped going. Now, what a lot of people are not aware of is that there were more missions that were planned to go to the moon. The equipment was built. The astronauts were trained. As a matter of fact, those rockets right now are rotting down in Florida on the old launch pads that were never lit off. We never went back. And then we didn't do anything for a couple of years until Skylab. Now, my point is, I suspect, and I have for a long time, they discovered something on the moon, not on the front of the moon, on the rear of the moon, the side that never faces the Earth. I am firmly convinced they either found evidence of a previous lunar base that someone or something set up there, or perhaps it's still active. Now, why do I say active? One simple reason. If any of these UFOs that people have been reporting for well over 70 years are actually somebody's technology from somewhere else, do you really truly believe that they're coming here from their point of origin, or are they coming here from an ongoing base. I prefer the explanation of an ongoing base, and I think that's why we have not been back to the moon with any more manned missions.
Let's do the break here and go into more detail in our next segment, okay? We have Don Ecker, Kurt Collins, Scoggs McKay with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and floating phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to Mr. UFO at webtv.net. That's Mr. UFO at webtv.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth, slide into a recession, or at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
As if chlorine in our water weren't bad enough, now they're adding ammonia?
It's true. Some municipalities are now adding ammonia plus chlorine to your water supply. It's a disinfectant called chloramine. But with a trusted Big Berkey water filter, you can keep chloramine out of your water. New NSF EPA certified lab tests show EPA Berkey water filters remove chloramines, pharmaceuticals, BPA, pesticides, bacteria and viruses, all forms of fluoride, and much more. Big Berkey water filters are the original and most trusted on the market, the gold standard in water purification. And our filters last for years at less than 2 cents per gallon. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get your Big Berkey today. Call 1-877-99-BERKEY or click BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Thousands of people seeking home security get ripped off every day, and the home security industry wants you to believe that's your only option. They've got hordes of salesmen out there trying to scare you into signing one of their long-term contracts. You get stuck writing huge checks month after month with no way out. It's robbery by contract, and it can cost you thousands. But there's a better way to protect your home. SimpliSafe Home Security. SimpliSafe has no contracts. None. You'll get award-winning 24/7 protection. Security professionals watching over your home, ready to instantly send police to the rescue for just $14.99 per month. That's less than half what most companies charge. Protect your home the smart way. Visit SimpliSafeDefense.com today for an exclusive 10% offer and get a free keychain remote worth $25. Only when you go to SimpliSafeDefense.com. SimpliSafeDefense.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
We continue on the Paracast with Gene, Chris, with Goggs McKay, Kurt Collins, Don Ecker. And Don was suggesting here that one of the reasons that we haven't, at least officially, gone back to the moon is because someone else is there.
Do you think we were warned off, Don, or do you think it was just an elective decision?
Well, that would be anybody's speculation whether we were warned, although the rumors that have circulated from that event for over 40 years suggest that we very well may have been. You know, I realize on the surface this sounds crazy, okay? It sounds like a crazy idea, but you must be aware of all the events and the facts surrounding this series of events with landing on the moon. For example, before we ever went to the moon, NASA contracted with a group of academics to do a study on the moon that basically encompassed well over 400 years of obscure, strange, and even miraculous lunar events that happened on the moon. It's called NASA Technical Report 277. Incidentally, it's available online. And the first astronauts that went to the moon were carrying weapons. This is also something that is not known. Now, when I found out about this, we were publishing UFO Magazine, and I was really getting started in this lunar research. I called up NASA, and they verified that, yes, the astronauts were armed when they lifted off. Now, the reason they gave me was that in the event when they were coming back from the moon, something happened with their re-entry, and they ended up in a jungle or something. This is why the astronauts had weapons. And remember, all these guys were former military officers. Now, the only problem I ever found out with that explanation was the fact that if you remember back in those days, we always landed our astronauts in the middle of a huge ocean. Okay? They never came down on land. They came down on water. That was the dirty little secret. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the NASA people had no explanation for that. But to get back to the moon, even Apollo 11, when they first went up there, saw mysterious blinking lights from the command module. News stories were run about that. So I am suggesting that they were aware that they might find something when they went up there. And it was only very tentative. After six missions, arbitrarily, the plug was pulled. And what was the explanation? Well, gentlemen, the explanation was NASA claimed the American people lost interest in going to the moon. And that just never passed my smell test.
Yeah.
Don, if I could come in quickly. Yes, the missions that didn't go after 17 or whatever, they were already paid for as well. So it's not like it was going to be a budget thing or whatever. You know, they were already paid for. And your point about aliens coming here and base camps and stuff, every climber that ascends Everest, they have base camp, camp one, camp two. So yes, the moon makes sense in that way as well. The thing about firearms being carried, I don't really know what to think about that, because I would have thought it, even though they're sitting on top of a massive explosive, basically, I would have thought a weapon, a handgun or whatever, would have been a pretty risky thing to have in space in a pressurized capsule, you know, in cramped quarters and stuff. But getting back to the moon, no one has even come close to satisfactorily explaining how the moon got into its perfect orbit, this orbit that weirdly happens to give the appearance of its size, the exact same size as the solar disk. Not only that, why is it always facing the same way as it goes round? This doesn't happen in any other moon of any other planet that we know of in the solar system. It shouldn't make sense that it could have been captured. The dates, the age of some of the rock in the moon doesn't make sense. And, Don, you'll know about that book that was written, I think, by Russians And it was about the fact that the moon may have been brought here as like a spaceship. I was just going to pass on to Don there about the book that was like Our Spaceship Moon or something. I'm very interested in the fact that the moon itself being there is a total mystery. And because of that, I don't find it much of a leap to think it couldn't be planned any better, that if it was being used as a staging post to visit here, the fact that it's got a side we never see from here is the obvious point where you can hide all your stuff. You could have enormous amount of stuff there, fleets of huge ships, whatever, power stations on the backside, and we're not going to see it here. And some of the images from the orbiting lunar craft, even before they actually landed on the moon, you know, there's the video with, it kind of looks like there's some kind of smoke coming out of some kind of tower. But there are various things that look like there's kind of some kind of movement on the moon when it should be kind of dead geologically anyway. We've got those tracks on the moons that looks like, you know, a big boulder's rolled up out of a crater. There's just a lot of strange things about the moon. Just recently, the British scientist, Professor Brian Cox, he does a lot of TV these days, but I heard his latest explanation, or supposedly science's latest explanation, of how the moon was formed. And I'm not an expert, of course, in any of that, but I just immediately thought, how can they say these things? There didn't seem to be any proof, and it didn't explain, or they just glossed over all the main interesting points. But there is literature out there to read that really explains far better than I can do just how weird the moon is, its being here.
Here's just a little couple of facts that I'll throw at you, and then let science can explain it. But when we sent our astronauts up there, of course, we all know that they brought back a lot of lunar material. They brought back rocks. They brought back dust. When this material was being examined, they found a stone, a rock, that was called the Genesis Rock. Now, in order to fully appreciate what they were saying, our solar system, the age is computed at just somewhere between 4.5 and 5 billion, with a B, years of age. Our star is computed to be approximately 5 billion years of age when it came into existence. And then the dust cloud that finally coalesced into our solar system happened shortly after that, shortly in terms of billions of years.
You're listening to a special listener roundtable episode of the Paracast with Don Ecker, Kurt Collins, Gogs Mackay, Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
We are the premier independent talk radio network, the Genesis Communications Network, GCN. We've been patiently waiting. Waiting while you tried to ignore us. Waiting while you acted like we didn't exist. Waiting for our chance to be taken seriously. The wait is over. GCN is available 24/7 at GCNlive.com. Navigate through news from your favorite host and download archives of past shows. Download the app on your smartphone or tablet, or visit GCNlive.com for instant access and live streaming. GCNlive.com, the future of talk radio, now at your fingertips.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. On Placing a Silver Dollar in a Book Explains Our Monetary System. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Did you know that drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health? Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of only the most alkaline minerals. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins, and helps you regain health and energy. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body rid itself of acidic waste, increases oxygen content, and raises the pH of your body to healthy levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's A-L-K-A-Vision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
Hey neighbor, what are you doing digging? You had a heart attack last year.
Oh, I know. I was told no more hard labor.
Then why are you digging?
Well, I've been taking ExtendoVite. It's been approved to help my heart.
ExtendoVite? Is that a new drug?
No, not a drug. It's more like an herbal combination made from garlic and cayenne.
Herbal? How can that help?
Well, actually, we've taken herbs for thousands of years. ExtendoVite is doing the job for me.
Does your doctor know about ExtendoVite?
Yeah, my doctor knows, and he said it seems to be working for you, so don't stop taking it. I feel great taking ExtendoVite. I don't want to stop.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
We've been patiently waiting. Waiting while you tried to ignore us. Waiting while you acted like we didn't exist. Waiting for our chance to be taken seriously. The wait is over. GCN is available 24/7 at GCNlive.com. Navigate through news from your favorite host and download archives of past shows. Download the app on your smartphone or tablet or visit GCNlive.com for instant access and live streaming. GCNlive.com, the future of talk radio, now at your fingertips.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. On Placing a Silver Dollar in a Book explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
All right, so I was forced, kicking and screaming, mostly screaming, to do the stinger this time, Chris. Why'd you make me do that?
Oh, you know, I mean, it's new and different. We've never done that before, so you heard it here first.
I thought it was Nick Redfern.
Actually, you heard it here last, because it's the last time I'll ever do it for the rest.
Gene's just a shadow of himself.
Who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men?
No, who knows what evil lurks on the backside of the moon? You know, this, Goggs, you brought up a really good point about just some inexplicable facts about the moon. How come when we have a total solar eclipse, the moon perfectly blocks out the sun? What's up with that? I mean, what are the odds of orbiting a satellite to Earth being perfectly positioned to just do that one thing? And I won't even get into the dozens and dozens of other head-scratching facts about the moon and its relationship to Earth. Don, what do you think about the Blair cuspids and other...
Well, let me finish my thought before we had to go to break. When those astronauts brought back those rocks and dirt, okay, from the lunar surface, they brought back a rock that ended up being called the Genesis Rock. The rock itself was 5 billion years of age, okay? But what was even more mind-bending about the fact was that the dirt, the material the rock was laying in that they brought back, was computed to be a billion years older than the moon. Now, we're talking about 6 billion years. We're talking about a body, okay, that was a billion and a half years older than our solar system. Now, that should give a lot of people questions about exactly what in the world is going on with the moon.
Is there not evidence to say that almost like life as we know it would be so different or not even possible in the same way without the gravity of the moon? It's almost like it's had a big part to play in our evolution and our, you know, circadian rhythms, things like that. Anybody? Does anybody have any more information on this?
Well, it's been suggested without the moon, okay, and the moon's effect on things like the tides, our weather, our winds, that life as we know it would not have evolved on planet Earth. So, yeah, from that standpoint, you're absolutely correct, Gogs.
Yeah, it's like the moon is sloshing, you know, obviously the oceans, but it's also affecting water on the planet. It's almost like a pot being stirred. The moon is like sloshing the Petri dish to create change and novelty in a closed system.
And also the moon, it's denser near to the surface than it is at the core, which is topsy-turvy compared to most other planetary bodies and moons.
You know, there's features on the moon. There's features on the moon, as I mentioned before, the Blair cuspids. There's many lunar anomalies that are said to be there. I mean, none of this has been verified by the space program or academia. But the one thing that I've always wondered, and Don, you might want to address this, is what about this whole idea of the Earth, the moon actually being hollow? Because I remember, didn't the Russians determine that when they slammed some sort of object, some space probe, into the moon, and it rang like a bell for 3 days?
We did that. We did that. The Americans did that after one of the Apollo missions. And we left a lot of equipment up there, including laser detectors. But they crashed a used rocket module into the moon. And the surprising effect of that was, as you stated, Chris, the moon rang like a bell for quite some time afterwards. Now, one other thing that I wanted to mention about the moon that also is another inexplicable question. NASA, of course, was behind the Apollo program. And in December of 72, when they caused the Apollo program to shut down with the return of Apollo 17, we washed our hands of the moon, okay, period. We didn't go back, except in the 90s, the mid-90s, we did go back to the moon. The Clementine mission, which, of course, was a robotic mission, went back and completely remapped and rephotographed the entire moon. But it wasn't NASA that sent it back. It was the Department of Defense. They took over 2 million photographs. Now, my question has always been, for what purpose and why hasn't the public seen any of those 2 million photographs? The dirty secret is, any photograph you've ever seen of the moon, okay, is usually an obscure, blurry image. Very little detail can be made out, especially with some of these more questionable photographs. But we all know that the military has cameras from orbit that can photograph things as small as a license plate from orbit and can read it. These are the most mind-bendingly high-def photographs you can imagine that they never allow the public to see. So with 2 million photographs, that tells me that those guys were looking for something. And a buddy of mine, Dr. John Brandenburg, was a part of the Clementine mission. And Brandenburg told me on one of his last appearances on Dark Matters Radio that when all those Clementine photographs were coming back, okay, they were not allowed to see them either. There was a separate lab that got all of those photographs, and they were keeping them secret. So that's something to chew on.
Yikes. That's a good word for it.
Yeah, yikes.
It's just the same lunar lab stuff all over again. And it must be really great to be an American taxpayer. And you think, you know, considering NASA was supposed to be, for the public, and people's taxes are funding this. And what reason publicly could the military have to say, no, you can't see these photos? Because if no one's claiming that there's anything amiss about the moon, there's nothing strange about it, there's no aliens there, then why are they? Is the military suddenly got into the possible moon mining or something? That might be an explanation, but it doesn't. That wouldn't explain why none of us could see the pictures.
Well, there's no squeaky wheel, Goggs. It doesn't need any grease. They're getting away with non-disclosure of as Don has brought up, a very, I think, worthy and salient subject here. Nobody's, putting the thumbscrews on them, at least in a way that the public is going to get behind. I think most of it is due to public ignorance. You know, it shows like this that bring these subjects up and, you know, maybe can create some sort of ground swelling.
Not only public ignorance, but also public apathy, Chris.
Yeah.
They're saying the moon. Well, what does the moon have to do with me and my life, okay?
Well,
the moon doesn't have anything.
When they think moon, they think Kim Kardashian's ass, basically. I'm sorry to say that. Sorry, Kim. That wasn't meant personal.
No apologies are going to be necessary, folks. Let's just keep it as it is.
Well,
don't feel you have to backtrack. I must break.
This?
I must
okay,
break.
We have China.
Hey, guys, I got a break.
Break.
Thank you. We've got a lot more to come. Also, your questions, listeners, of our guest panel, including Don Ecker of Dark Matters Radio Show, Goggs Mackay, Kurt Collins, with Gene, and with Chris. And guess what? That means you're in
the Paracast. America's largest independently owned communications network, GCN.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It took hours before it returned, but I'd already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Talk to a sales rep at iWeb.com. Use the promo code TechNightOwl for a special discount.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Everyone says or does something silly once in a while. But once that embarrassing thing is on the internet, it can spread like a terrible rash. Put it to rest. Get a free expert analysis today from Reputation.com. It only takes 30 seconds. 800-831-0771. We protect your online image by helping to make sure that when people search for you or your business, they find the most current, accurate information possible. Reputation.com. Because word travels fast. Call for a free analysis today. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
Hi, Peter Vaccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com. ParanormalDate.com. And use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
Hey, this is Marie D. Jones, the author of This Book is from the Future, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Gene and Chris and Goggs and Don and Kirk on the Paracast, focusing on lunar mysteries. Why won't we go back there? Why the excuses? Why do they say, let's go to Mars next? Misdirection.
Yeah, what about China? What about India? Other countries are now developing space programs. The Japanese are starting to get their proverbials together.
Well, actually, the Chinese went to the moon.
I know, okay. And I'm saying, are they part of this equation? Are they part of some sort of potential cover-up? Why don't they disclose their findings? Because they haven't, to my knowledge.
No, very, very little has come out about the Chinese. But, you know, if the Chinese, in fact, and they are planning to land a manned mission on the moon by 2020, okay, I think it would be safe to assume that the Chinese, if they get up there, intend to put some type of base there. And it's going to be interesting to see if, in fact, they do.
The Indians just recently announced that they are planning a space probe to Venus. That's a planet you don't hear about much in terms of you know, interest by space programs.
You can't really see any surface features on Venus because does it not have something like ammonia clouds and ridiculous temperatures? And
that's a pretty inhospitable place.
Yeah. Well, I wonder what the scientific interest of a country to send a spacecraft there. I wonder what they're, you know, going to gain, because it's easy to see why you would look at Mercury or Pluto or whatever when we can actually see more stuff, you know. But I suppose you could do radar kind of ground mapping, all that kind of stuff. Saturn's rings now, there's something interesting. I don't pretend to know that much about them, but they're also of quite a strange feature. They seem to change. How did they come about? I'm not a believer in some of the silly theories I've heard about, you know, the ring makers of Saturn. There may have been ring makers, but giant ships and whatever. But that's something worth looking at again. Was it Voyager that initially went past Saturn's rings and gave us those great pictures?
Yeah,
But there haven't been many crafts since that have gone up for a close look, and nobody's found out how they kind of came about. I don't think so, anyway.
Yeah, and nobody's come up with an explanation how one of the bands in that ring around Saturn is braided.
Braided how?
It's interwoven with itself. Oh, and it doesn't conform to any other ring, to my knowledge, or any other band of that ring around Saturn.
Oh, we've got Iapetus, I think it's Jupiter's moon, that looks like a Death Star. That's got the kind of hexagonal sections. It's like a, it's almost like a, well, I don't know, a dodecahedron or one of these kind of spherical shapes that are made up of hexagons. I think there's a bit more of that in the solar system as well, where you should have just a standard crater or whatever. You've quite often got these more geometric things going on, and quite often hexagons. I don't know if it's something about, you know, how with crystals and water and ice and things, you know, they can form interesting shapes. But I wonder.
Not a huge geologic feature like that. Well, what about these wonderful images of Pluto? And many people online are pointing out that there's this wonderful heart shape that's, you know, in the southern hemisphere that people are sitting there getting all Twitter-pated about. What about
Twitter-pated?
That?
Twitter-pated?
Yeah. Yeah, it's like their hearts go fluttering because they see a heart. Perihelia. No one's going to touch that one.
No.
And we don't want to, no.
Well, you know, it's like I was just reading about the closest planet to our star, Mercury, okay? Mm-hmm. And astronomers were astounded to discover that areas of Mercury in shade not only have ice, okay, lining craters on the planet Mercury, which is only a few million miles from the sun, but a black material that they believe is biological. Now, how would that have ever gotten there? Well, the only way that I'm aware of would have been deposits by comets slamming into the planet. But the fact of the matter remains they found water ice there and material believed to be biological in nature. So the bottom line is our universe has all the ingredients for life. Okay, strewn throughout the cosmos, a rich bunch of water and biological material. How can anybody deny that there is life out there?
Well, I don't think that's the question. The question is, you know, with all these, quadrillions of potential planets out there, how can anybody suggest that there's not life out there in the universe? And that, in terms of sentient life, intelligent life, I mean, we can't be, with our biodiversity on this planet, we cannot be the only intelligent evolved species in the universe. And I'll be the first one to champion any efforts to locate those, you know, signs or signals that life is out there. In fact, a recent headline here within the last couple of weeks is a rich billionaire in Russia. I think his name is Yuri Melner. Has pledged $100 million for a private SETI program. I think we're seeing in the culture, we're seeing it, when big money starts stepping up and addressing this particular issue, I think that bodes well for the field, I think, in the long run. Obviously, in the short term, we're going to still deal with Hollywood bastardizing our subject. But, Kurt, we haven't heard from you in a while. Where do you stand on lunar anomalies, transient lunar phenomena, for instance, all these other subjects we've been talking about. Where are you on all this?
Well, I lost for a lot of it, I'll tell you. I've heard of some of the things, and I'm not familiar with them, so I really don't feel qualified to comment. But I thought, you know, we mentioned a few things that, you know, one was the apathy, and I think the apathy in the general public of UFOs has kind of followed that of the trailing off of the space program, or at least the manned space program. And, when in the early development of space flight and rocketry and the interest in UFOs, they seemed to kind of be lockstep, at least up through the 60s. And there were a lot of people that Well, you know, even John Schuessler, MUFON, was, he worked for the he worked for a contractor at NASA, and those people were interested in UFOs and in space flight, and it was all kind of working together. And this sort of thing doesn't seem to be happening nearly as much now. And, you know, I mentioned before about how the people that insist that there is life throughout the universe, they don't seem to be interested a bit in what might have visited Earth, if that's possible. So, I think that it's interesting to see how that those ideas work together and yet it seem to have fallen apart now. And other than that, I think it's interesting, you know, we're talking about when you mentioned Pluto, that some of the achievements now are done with unmanned exploration. You know, of course, getting a person to Pluto would be a huge undertaking, but I think we need to rely more on that for exploration. I think if we do things on the moon, it's probably also going to be unmanned, but just because of the demands of the oxygen, water, and life support, it's going to be so much faster. And now the control, I mean, just the old Apollo missions, the computer to run the systems was so primitive. So we should be able to do a whole lot more things with the technology that we have now. And I don't know, if nothing else, verify what's going on so far.
You brought up a really good point about robotics. A recent headline announced that AI and artificial intelligence had actually passed the Turing test. And that's a big hurdle. If people out there are not familiar with the Turing test, it's a double-blind, I guess, scenario where a human and a artificial intelligence, you know, unbeknownst to the listener, respond to questions, and the listener really can't determine which is the robot and which is human. I think obviously robotics would be the way to, especially with quantum computing, things that are on the horizon. I think that robotics would be obviously a very effective way of doing deep space exploration. And you know, as time marches on, we have more and more technological advances that allow us to do more and more things. And we've got a really interesting question here from our friend up in Canada in Calgary, Ufology, who's back on the Paracast forum at forum.theparacast.com.
Let's have that question in our next segment with G and Chris, Goggs, Don, Kurt, you're in
the Paracast.
A little right, a little left, but always independent-minded. The Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit rockoids.com. That's rockoids.com.
For health and vitality for you, your family, and friends, get the Healthy Start Pack from Youngevity, as recommended by registered pharmacist Ben Fuchs.
If you're a junk food junkie, getting on the Healthy Start Pack is one of the best ways to wean yourself off of processed snack foods and start putting good nutrition in your body. If you have a loved one who's dealing with heart disease or any health challenge, the Healthy Start Pack makes a great gift. If you have a grandparent or a parent in a nursing home, you will be amazed at the difference a once-a-day dose of the Healthy Start Pack will make in your loved one's energy levels, in their memory, in their mood, and in their general outlook on life.
Give the gift of optimal health to your loved ones and order the Healthy Start Pack from Youngevity by calling 866-735-2470. That's 866-735-2470 or on the web at brightsideben.com. That's brightsideben.com. Order today.